are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts his money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Television Network. I'm fired up for some football, man. Normally, I hate the playoffs because the Bills are never in them, but we were there. We got invited to the party. We got drunk, and we got asked to leave. It's just like real life. So it's all good. It's like, yeah, no, we were there, and it's all right. Now let's move on. Let's move on. Now I'm on the Minnesota Vikings bandwagon as there's a changing of the guard happening right now in the NFC. The AFC, not yet. Not yet. I still think there's a year or two left of the Pittsburgh Steelers and the New England Patriots dominating things. You look at the NFC, and you've got all these new teams and great players. You know, Jared Goff and the Rams are going to be around for a while. This Minnesota Viking team is going to be good for a couple of years to come. The Green Bay Packers are still good. You know, but it's wide open in the NFC. The AFC is still New England and Pittsburgh. And I know it's getting a little bit old seeing the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl every year. But the window, it's not closing. But there's only a year or two left of this right now. You know, this might be the last time we're going to see Pittsburgh and New England play in the playoffs, actually. Ben Roethlisberger's always one hit away from retirement. So I'm fired up for some football, and we'll see just how much of a changing of the guard there actually is. Jalen Ramsey of the Jags earlier in the year said there's a changing of the guard going on this year. Well, ball's in your court, Jalen. Bring it on. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. All right, we've got Steve Merrill. We've got Joe Pisapia. I've got a DraftKings lineup for you. We're talking football on the program today. NFL football. We're focusing in on the four games, obviously. Let's bring in Steve Merrill. ProSportsInfo.com. CoversExperts.com. Steve, it's always a pleasure. How you doing?
Hey, Gabe. Doing well.
So, Steve, countdown is on right now, and the line really isn't moving in this football game right now. The first one off the board, 4:35 Eastern kickoff. The Atlanta Falcons are laying 3 to the Philadelphia Eagles. The total is 41. And if you look at this from – there's a lot of situations and there's a lot of angles that are on the Philadelphia Eagles side of things in this football game, Steve, despite the fact that Nick Foles is the quarterback.
Right, and that's the reason they're a home dog. First time a rested number one seed has ever been a home dog in the playoffs, and it's very rare in general that we see home dogs because the way this playoffs have always been set up is the better record regular season team technically is the home team. So the reason this happens is either the road team maybe had some injuries during the season and are now better, or this situation where the home team obviously has a major injury and they're weaker. The thing for me is the question mark for me is how well Nick Foles plays. This is a guy that's capable of playing very well. He still has the third highest seasonal quarterback rating in NFL history back in 2013 when he had a 27-2 touchdown interception ratio. Now, of course, that was Chip Kelly's first season in the league. It was a little gimmicky. He really has been mediocre at best. In fact, the past four seasons since then, he's got a 20-20 ratio with several different teams. Looked really bad against the Cowboys in limited action in Week 17, but that was a meaningless game. Looked good against the Giants, 4 touchdowns, but he looked really bad against the Raiders, so not a lot to go with so far. I think the bigger thing here is how the Falcons play. I loved them last week as a road underdog at the L.A. Rams. That was my game of the week. I thought the better team was getting points, and I do think the Falcons are the better team in this game, and that's why they're favored, but the problem is it's a terrible scheduling spot. 4th road game in 5 weeks overall, and back-to-back road trips crossing the country here. Not a good spot for Atlanta, and that's why some people can make an argument for Philly as a home dog, even if their lineup is weaker.
I think Atlanta wins, but I think it's going to be right around the number. I think it'll be a closer game, Atlanta in control, or Atlanta at least right there. Yeah, I'm looking at like a 24-20 Atlanta win, Steve.
5 of the 6 football games last week gave either the side or total landed within a couple points of the line. And the only game that didn't happen was actually the Falcon-Ram game, both the side and total not that close. This line has moved from 2.5 when we spoke on Monday. It's now 3 across the board, a crucial number. Atlanta has mathematically about a 10% chance of winning by exactly 3 points. So, yeah, it could very, very well land on the number once again.
The Falcons are 6-3 on the road right now. They are a good road team. Eagles 7-1. At home this year. You know, the Eagles' defense is going to have to step up and make some plays and put Nick Foles in some favorable situations. But everyone can talk about Julio Jones all you want. Deion Jones is a monster right now. You know, a couple of years ago, it was like Beasley's coming out party or last year, whatever. Now Deion Jones, 10 tackles for the third straight game, 52 tackles in his last five games. This guy's he's a torpedo running around out there right now. The Falcons defense is to me, the Falcons defense is the difference here. I think they're going to make Nick Foles' life pretty tough for him. It's not going to be easy. You know, people think of the Falcons any offense, but their defense has been good this year.
Yeah, defense is underrated. They give up only 19 points a game. They give up only 5.5 yards per play. They actually do have very good defensive numbers. Eagles' numbers are right around there as well. Overall, if you look at the schedule strength, Atlanta played a tougher schedule being a playoff team last year compared to Philly, who was not. One thing I want to point out, though, you know, we talk about how the scheduling spot is not good for Atlanta. They've been a weaker road team in general, and one of the reasons is they don't play well outdoors. Now, they played okay last week in L.A., but it's going to be interesting weather here in Philly. Saturday morning, it's going to be 58 degrees, but by the time the game kicks off 12 hours later, it's going to be in the 30s, and by the time the game ends at like 8 o'clock Eastern Saturday night, it's going to be in the 20s. So the weather is not going to be favorable for Atlanta, a team that historically has not been as good offensively outdoors. The defense might play okay, but it definitely limits your speed on offense.
All right, Steve, so what's the pick? There's no fence sitting this week on the program. What's the pick, side or total? You like the over, the under, dog, yeah. Teaser, where are you going?
Yeah, I think you can make an argument on a teaser. If you can get a 7-point teaser and get Philly up to plus 10, like you said, I think this one's going to be right around the number.
All right, so then the next one, I think this one is the blowout. Last week, nobody gave Tennessee a chance, and Tennessee came back. But the fact is, they were down 21-3, and Travis Kelce was killing them. And Kelce got hurt, and the Chiefs fell apart. But the Chiefs are chokers. The Patriots aren't chokers. There's a difference. That's not surprising that the Kansas City Chiefs did this. I look at this game, and yeah, you can make an argument. It's double digits. Tom Brady's 2-3 against the spread. Five times he's been favored by double digits in the playoffs. He's covered two of them. But I just don't see how Tennessee's going to score enough to be able to keep up with the number. The team total for the Patriots is 30.5 in this football game, and I think they're going to get there, and I think they're going to surpass that. I think they're going to get into the mid-30s, and I look at Tennessee here, the Titans. Are the Titans going to get more than 20? I don't know. I mean, the Titans average 20.9 points per game on the season. On the road, they average 18 points. And I think they're going to live up to their averages here for the most part. So if they get to 17 to 21, you're going to have to hold the Patriots to under 30 points because 35-21 still covers the number here. It's a lot of points, but to me, it's lay or pass here, Steve. I think, you know, and the Patriots are in a bad mood right now. Brady's talking about warrior this and, you know, there's a storm coming and all this type of stuff. You know, the Titans are in a tough spot after a big upset win last week, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't see Tennessee winning this game. So the question becomes, you know, can they stay within the 2-touchdown line? It's currently 13.5. I do think we'll start to see a few more 14s by kickoff on Saturday night. I think the public in general will probably be on New England in this game, although it looks pretty split right now from what I'm seeing. But we might see more 14s. You know, 14 or more, maybe you can take a chance with Tennessee and hope they lose by 2 touchdowns or less. But I don't see them winning this game. And I give Kansas City more credit last week for blowing that game than I do give Tennessee credit for winning. They're down by 18. New England would not blow an 18-point halftime lead like that. And the problem for Tennessee as well is they don't throw the ball. They're the worst passing team in the playoffs. So when they get behind, you know, I know they came back last week, but when they get behind in general, it's tough to come back when you don't have a good passing attack. The one thing they do maybe do well is run the ball, and New England has been very suspect against the run this year, and their defensive numbers are pretty weak overall. They give up 6 yards per play, but then again, they only give up 18.5 points per game. And as you know, Gabe, year after year we talk about this, they always have that bend but don't break defense. So you have to be very careful with those yards per play averages because New England plays usually much better than those numbers indicate.
Now, the Pittsburgh game might be the one where weather actually is a factor. You know, the weather, as you stated, it's going to get colder as the day goes on in Philadelphia. But it seems that on Sunday it's going to be a little worse. Like, I don't know, you know, Pittsburgh and Philadelphia might be in the same state, but they're not very close to each other. They're like 6-7 hours away. So it's interesting. Right now there's a winter storm warning in Pittsburgh as we speak. You know, sort of like the weather where we are right now, rainy, sort of slushy, you know, cold, you know, snow, wind, etc. So for Sunday, it is going to be it's going to be pretty cold Sunday, man. 19 degrees. That's the coldest game on the board right now. Jacksonville go in here, and Jacksonville beat them earlier in the year, Steve, but I see the Pittsburgh Steelers are actually, you know, they're 10 times they played a team to beat them in a regular season in the playoffs since 2003. Since 2003, the Steelers are 7-3 straight up, 8-2 against the spread in a revenge spot against in the playoffs against a team to beat them in a regular season. And off the top of my head, I'm thinking a few of these losses are probably to the Patriots, Steve. Like, the Steelers just don't lose in the playoffs to the Patriots generally. The Steelers are going to win this game, and they're going to cover this game.
Yeah, it looks like the snow might come Monday. They might get something before. It looks like it might not be any precipitation, but it's going to be around about 10 to 15 degrees during the game on Saturday, on Sunday, and that's Fahrenheit. So it's going to be well, well below freezing the entire day Sunday. You got to wonder how that affects Jacksonville. That's a legitimate handicapping factor. Warm weather teams are not used to that. You can't simulate that by arriving in the city a day early and getting ready for it. And then you have a huge revenge motive for Pittsburgh as well. What's interesting about that earlier meeting is a lot of people don't realize Pittsburgh was winning outright in the middle of the third quarter, 9-7. And then Roethlisberger threw back-to-back pick sixes to end the third quarter, and that's when the floodgates opened. No touchdowns, 5 interceptions. He was one of only 6 quarterbacks in the last 20 years to do that at home. Eli Manning and Matt Ryan were the 2 most recent before him. So good quarterbacks do that occasionally, I guess, which is kind of strange. But what was interesting about that result is that it catapulted Pittsburgh to a very good season. They went in and beat Kansas City the next week outright, snapped their undefeated start. They won 9 straight games after the Jacksonville loss. And I think it's a focus spot here. The line opened 7, went up to 7.5 quickly early in the week. Now it's back down to 7. Some of that might have to do with the weather. It should be a low-scoring game. Total's 41. And Jacksonville has the makings of a good defensive underdog. Good rushing attack, great pass defense. But I think the weather favors Pittsburgh, the bye week with the rest. You know, it might be right around the number again. Pittsburgh down to -1 probably makes a pretty good teaser.
Yeah, Pittsburgh is a very good teaser. And I put a parlay together with the Atlanta Falcons, New England Patriots, Pittsburgh Steelers, and Minnesota Vikings, money line, all of them. It's plus 246. $200 bet gets you back $692. It's not too bad. I'd like it if it was, you know, I'd prefer if it was plus 346 instead of 246, but it is what it is. But, yeah, you know, Pittsburgh are in a good tease situation. I think you could tease this game to the under. And I generally don't like betting unders in the NFL, Steve, but this is the one that catches my eye. I think the total's a little low in the Philadelphia-Atlanta game at 41. It's the same number as this. The weather's not going to be as bad there, and it's not going to be quite as a smash-mouth game. They don't want Ben Roethlisberger getting picked off 5 times. Le'Veon Bell is going to be a big part of this. And, you know, God knows, we all know that Blake Bortles not going to be throwing the ball that much in this game. They're going to try to pound the rock with Leonard Fournette. Bad weather, snow, wind, rain, you know, all of the above. I like the under in this game. I think a Pittsburgh Steeler teaser, 7-point teaser down to a pick'em, and then under 48 is a good play here.
What's interesting about this under is that it's actually a public under. If you look at the consensus right now, covers.com, they're on the over in every game but this one. And as you know, the public normally plays the over. So it does look like the under is a bit of a public play, and it makes sense. I mean, everybody watched that Buffalo game last week, 10-3. The week before, 15-10 loss Jacksonville had against Tennessee. So that's why you could see some money coming in on the under.
All right, so the Saints right now they're getting 5 points in this football game. It's a rematch, but it's not really a rematch. It is. They played on Monday Night Football, but it was the first Monday Night Football game of the year. It was the opening game of the National Football League season this year. Sam Bradford was there. Dalvin Cook was there. Adrian Peterson was on the Saints. Kamara wasn't getting touches yet. So it's not a rematch. Yeah, it really isn't.
Well, we have the same angle here that we had with the Rams last week. We have a first-time NFL playoff starter at quarterback. And as you mentioned a few weeks ago, they only win about 35% of the time straight up. The Rams lost outright last week in that role, and now Case Keenum is in that role. However, I think Case Keenum's a solid quarterback. You know, way back when he was at Houston in 2013, his first season, when he ended up playing half that year, I thought he had a solid season. He had a quarterback rating of almost 80. In fact, his career rating is 86. This year it's 98.3. He is a solid quarterback, and he's better than half the starters in the league. So, you know, backup quarterback for Minnesota is a little misleading because he's been getting it done this year, and their defense has obviously been getting it done, along with Jacksonville, probably the best pass defense in the NFL. But what's interesting about New Orleans is they've been a good road team this year, better than in years past. Their defense gives up less points per game on the road than they do at home this year. And Minnesota's been great at home, a very strong home field. It's reminding me a lot of Seattle's home field advantage, a very noisy new stadium there. So it'll be interesting to see how this game plays out. You know, we always talk about games starting a little bit slower, and I hate unders also, Gabe, because the game is so wide open now. The under first half, under 23, might be worth a look. The Saints give up 18 on the road. Vikings give up only 12.5 at home this season. So that total, 46.5, maybe under 23 in the first half, looks a little high.
Yeah, you know, it could be a slower start to the game, but I think it's going to open up a little bit. I think the floodgates will open, and Minnesota is going to score more than people think they're going to score. I think that, you know, you look at the New Orleans Saint defense, the injuries are starting to catch up to them a little bit once again right now. It's you know, and you mentioned Case Keenum. I think Case Keenum's going to be just fine, and it is true about first-year quarterbacks. And ironically enough, so we talked about it going into last week, Steve, they were 11-27. First time quarterbacks in the playoffs. Yet Marcus Mariota wins. Blake Bortles wins. Yeah, Blake Bortles was playing against Tyrod Taylor, so something had to give there. And so that's two. So that bumps it up to 13-27. Jared Goff lost, and then the other guys were all experienced. So what is it now? 13-28. But I think, Steve, and I don't know if you agree with this, I think that is a little bit more highlighted when you've got a young quarterback. You know, you've got a young, like Jared Goff. The kid's in his second year in the league. Yes, this is Case Keenum's first playoff game, but the guy's been in the league for like 4 or 5 years now, Steve. He's played in games. He's been around. He's not a young guy anymore. Yeah, it's his first playoff game, but to me it's not the same as a young kid playing in his first playoff game.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how many of those teams were favored. I would assume most were probably road underdogs, you know, because they barely snuck in the playoffs. Teams like the Rams that hadn't won in years past. That's why it was a little unusual to see the Rams as a home favorite last week. But, yeah, Keenum's been solid this year. His numbers have been better than most quarterbacks in the league. And then on top of that, he's got a very strong defense. And as you said, the one quarterback that won in that situation last week, other than Mariota, who's kind of lucky, was Blake Bortles. You know, good, strong defense. And Minnesota has the exact same type of makeup.
You know, I saw a story a couple hours ago, actually, about the Minnesota Vikings. And the Minnesota Vikings, Steve, they have lost more playoff games as favorites than any team in NFL history. It's a weird stat that pops up right now. Not that it has any effect, but there's been a lot of letdowns over the years for the Minnesota Vikings. Even going back to the days, you know, with Randall Cunningham, when they were 15-1, with Randy Moss and Dante Culpepper, et cetera. They had some really good teams that fell short. They got upset by the Falcons in the playoffs, actually. Yep.
Yeah, that's the one that jumps out. I think it might have been the championship game. That's the year the Falcons went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, with Chris, was it Chris Chandler and Jamal Anderson, et cetera, Dirty Bird.
98, 97, 98 is when John Elway's last win, I think.
Yeah, and then going back to the 70s, they were the Buffalo Bills before the Bills, right, with the four Super Bowl appearances. So the Vikings, they've had a lot of letdowns over the years, but this one just feels different. And you know, Mike Zimmer, I talk about him all the time. The guy's just so good. 32-9 against the spread against non-division opponents. 18-3 against the spread at home against non-division opponents. They're a tough team to bet against, man. They really are. And I know the Saints are a good team, but I think the injuries catch up to the Saints and it's the end of the road.
And then on top of that, you got the bye week. You've got, you're exactly right, a really good coach, good game planning coach, and then he's got an extra week to prepare. So it'll be interesting.
Fact that I can't find this story right now really upsetting me, man. It's like taxis, man. They're everywhere except when you need one. Where the hell is it? But anyways, yeah, I think I wanted to get the exact number, but yeah, they've lost more playoff games than anybody that they were supposed to win as favorites. Steve
Merrill.
Well,
it would be something though if they finally host a Super Bowl for the first time in Super Bowl history, though.
Yeah, I think it's gonna happen. It'll be a good night. It'll be a nice way for the NFL to salvage this season. It'll be a nice story. I got Pittsburgh and Minnesota in the Super Bowl, and I'm not backing off that prediction. Now, check out Steve Merrill, coversexperts.com, sportsinfo.com. Thanks for the time, Steve.
Thanks, Gabe.
All right, there's Steve Merrill with us. Game time decision continues.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Game Time Decisions on a Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. The countdown to kickoff continues as well. Let's continue our conversation about the National Football League divisional round. Let's talk about this from all angles. We got a Patriot fan. We don't often have Patriot fans on the show. I guess Tony Sincott is a Patriot fan, although I don't think he likes admitting it. Tony's like the only guy from Boston that doesn't like walk around like with a Boston Strong hat on. like most Bostonians are like, yeah, I'm from Boston. I'm like, you're from Boston. He's like, yeah. I'm from Jacksonville. Tony's a Jags fan now. No, all kidding aside, Tony Sincott is a Patriot fan, but there's a lot of Patriot bashing that goes on the network here. From we hope the scoreboard falls on them to we hope Tom Brady gets his legs broken. That was Mike Cardano, for the record. That wasn't me. Cardano once said that he hopes that Brady gets his legs broken. But we now welcome Joe Pisapia. You hear him every weekday on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network with Jake Seeley and Chris Meaney at 4 o'clock. And coming out in a matter of days, like this weekend, the Fantasy Baseball Black Book. Baseball season's right around the corner. You want to win money. You want to be prepared. No better book to pick up than the Fantasy Black Book. It's legendary, written by Joe Pisapia with contributions from Paul Spohr, Jake Seeley, and Sammy Reed. Joe Pisapia joins us. What's up, Joe?
What's happening, Gabe? Again, my condolences, but then again, I can't get too sad for you from last weekend because I had to sit on air and broadcast basically through that entire Bills game last week, but I hope you're hanging in there and I hope you're okay.
No, I'm okay. It's just too bad because it was an absolute lock. We would have beaten the Patriots this week. That's the thing that, you know, I was like, man, it would have been such an easy win. Like, we just could have got past the Jags, but.
Absolutely, of course.
Yeah, no, you know what? Everything worked out perfectly for the Buffalo Bills. The fans get to celebrate making the playoffs, but the Bills were humbled and reality reared its head. And I love the fact that the Buffalo Bills accept reality as opposed to some of these stupid teams that bring Dirk Cutter back and Todd Monken back and hire Mark Helfrich as their offensive coordinator. The Bills see, you know what? We're not good enough. And if Tyrod Taylor, sort of like Mike Mularkey, hard to fire Mularkey right now, they wanted to, hard to fire him after he won that playoff game. It would have been hard for us to get rid of Tyrod Taylor if he would have won a playoff game. He didn't.
Well, look,
he didn't. And now we got to fire the OC this morning as well. It's good news. Everything's
good
perfect
news
for the Bills.
And I'm sure you'll have a new quarterback too, but I don't want you to turn this Patriots segment of mine into a Bills segment. That's definitely not going to help your ratings, I can tell you that.
No, I think it will. We have more Bills fans. Nobody likes the Patriots, man. What are you?
They love to hate them, Gabe.
Are you a Duke fan? You got a Duke hat back there somewhere, Joe? Too?
No. I lost Super Bowls before I won them, Gabe Morin. See, I've got my Drew Bledsoe jersey still hanging in my closet from my childhood. I'm authentic.
Steve Grogan.
I got my starter jacket, the whole deal, my friend.
Yeah, that's exactly. I need to see a Steve Grogan. You show me a Steve Grogan jersey or Sam Cunningham.
I'm not that old for the Grogan Eason years. You know, he's up there, Morency. But I, at least the Bledsoe Ben Coates years I got under control there. But I suffered through the Pete Carroll years as well. But, you know, I'm also a loser Mets fan. So you have to understand,
okay,
I'm humbled every April again. So don't worry.
That's pretty bad, actually. And that kind of evens out.
Exactly.
Yeah. They are really. I like that Wilpon's crying about the Yankees spending money. It's like, shut up.
Don't get me started, Gabe. You don't have a long enough segment for me to
just
go on.
Sell
about
the team, Wilpon. Like, that'd just be for the best. Sell the team. All right. So another thing that Joe, not only a best-selling author and fantasy sports star, he's also the trainer to the stars when it comes to combat sports and movies, etc. You know, with knives, swords, combat scenes. So I figured you'd be a good person to ask about this. You know, it's the perfect fit here because you are a Patriot fan, and I figure you would like this when Tom Brady posts, "Fate whispers to the warrior, you cannot withstand the storm. The warrior whispers back, I am the storm." Some pretty deep stuff.
Man. I'm fired up. How about you? I want to go in there and go to war. I want to run out the tunnel with him. I'm there. Let's do it.
And I see he posted a picture of playing against the Falcons. Haven't they been through enough? It's like Brady just can't let that go. Hey, it's like,
well, you can't. Look, you know what? I mean, I was just thinking actually about a week or two ago. I said, you know, after last year's Super Bowl, everything was just so spectacular, the fashion in which they won, the whole thing, and the whole, you know, 4-game suspension and coming back and sticking it to everybody. And, you know, even the people who hate the Patriots, there was a sentiment that seemed to be out there of like, no matter how much hate the Patriots, you got to appreciate what they were able to do in that comeback and the way they played and all that stuff. Then I felt like, whatever, whatever happens this year is fine. But, and I also figured there's no fodder this year. There's nothing, there's no fire, there's no tension, there's no, you know, angry Tom Brady. And then ESPN was so wonderful in giving us this lovely story, which I wouldn't be surprised if it was planted by Belichick in the first place. And certainly here we go, and now everyone's pissy and moany and bitchy, and you're going to get angry Tom Brady. And I don't know about you, Gabe. I know you probably hate it, but I love angry Tom Brady. It's my favorite.
Yeah, I will note, I am a Michigan fan. So I remember when Tom Brady was a kid and stuff. That's when people bitch at me, yeah, you're a Bills fan, you hate Brady. I'm like, settle down, man. I was pulling for this guy before you guys ever heard of him, all right? Chill out.
No Drew but, Henson. Yeah. X-Nay on the Drew Henson, eh?
Yeah, Drew Henson. That's another story. We actually pushed Brady out. We wouldn't push him out, but it was like, all right, thanks, Tom.
You know, yeah. Maybe you kept saving your bacon quite a bit there in Michigan, too. I remember.
Drew Henson, though, never should have went and taken Steinbrenner's money. He would have been the first overall pick in the NFL draft, but that's another story. But you're exactly right. And in past years, you know, you had the Deflate Gate. You had, you know, Spygate. You've had, like, you know, various controversies and feuds with the NFL. Deflate stuff got dragged out for a couple of years. And I remember even saying, for the love of God, stop poking them, man. You know what I mean? Because
right.
It's a lot of teams become complacent. And they don't become complacent when they get this us against the world stuff going on. And, I, you know, like you said, I wouldn't be shocked. Yeah, you know, it's like Donald Trump leaking stupid stuff about himself to, you know, to get the scent. You know, people do these things. They're diabolical geniuses.
Or stable geniuses, depending on what
Belichick is a real stable genius. Yeah.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing about
Belichick. You're right. It just motivates them. It gives them that little extra edge.
Right.
And I wanted to ask you, though, I think they have 2 years left. There's this year, there's next year, and then the end of the line is arriving. This isn't going to last forever. Same with the Pittsburgh Steelers. This year, I mean, hell, they're one of the favorites teams to beat. Next year, and then I think 2 years from now is when, oh, Brady looks old, or oh, he left, and it falls apart, et cetera. I think there's 2 years left. Would you agree with that?
I absolutely agree. In fact, I said on Target yesterday, I think they've got another 2-year window, and that's about enough time to draft and groom another quarterback in the second or third round, which is exactly what I think they're going to do. And it would be ridiculous not to think that Belichick wasn't at least going to have the conversation about, hey, do you want to move on with Tom Brady, and are we going to move forward with Garoppolo? Because that's what Belichick does. He gets rid of everybody before their expiration date. Doesn't matter if it's Vinatieri, Vrabel. It doesn't matter if it's Richard Seymour. You can go back to all of these. There's so many of them, and they pay you for what you're going to do, not what you did. Now, I'm sure when it went to the owner, Robert Kraft said something, well, here's going to be the one exception. The one exception is going to be the greatest quarterback of all time. And if you're going to make an exception, that's the one you make an exception for. And, you know, if Jimmy Garoppolo went, you know, 1-2 over the last couple games or did not look very good, people saying, oh, boy, you know, they're the Patriots just selling off hype pieces and all that stuff. But instead, he beat the Bears and, well, he beat the Texans, and all of a sudden he's the second coming of Joe Montana, and everyone should pump the brakes. He's a nice young quarterback, but he's not, I don't think, an irreplaceable piece right now. And as good as Garoppolo might be, you still can't trade him or should I say, you know, take away the future necessarily for what you have right now, which is the leading passer in the league still. I don't care if he's 40. He's still leading the league in passing yards. So you're probably right, Gabe. I would say a 2-year window at most with Brady, but that's enough time to groom a replacement or figure things out. And I'm sure that's going to start this draft.
And for those of you that are thinking, well, I'm going to fade Rob Gronkowski this week in DFS. Gronkowski has 6 touchdown catches in his last 5 playoff games. This is where they're going to throw him the ball more, isn't it, Joe? Like, this is where 100%. They raise it up a notch with him. And we saw Kelsey just killed him last week.
Yeah, absolutely, Gabe. And you know what else, too? When you've got the Patriots all healthy, it becomes really dicey from a fantasy standpoint. It's great for the Patriots. It's terrible for the opposition.
Yeah.
But it's even worse for fantasy owners because you don't know where things are going to go. The one thing I think you can count on is that Brady-Gronk pairing, and I would still stay true to that. Because even if you're going to fade down to a guy like Ertz this week, that's a tough sell with Foles. I mean, if you want to go all the way down to Rudolph, that's the next one that I would feel comfortable about. Maybe you get lucky, get a touchdown, get double-digit return on him. But I would be shocked if it wasn't a big Gronk day. And don't be surprised if the Patriots don't run up the score, because that's kind of their MO in these playoff games.
Yeah, they set the tone for the next week. Exactly. I'm looking, I think, 35-17, 42-17 in that range for the Patriots. So not just, you know, from a fantasy standpoint, but how do you think Nick Foles does? Do you think it's are people overreacting that Foles is going to be, oh, he's Nick Foles, he's going to be terrible? Or do you think he's going to be fine? Or do you think, you know what, he's going to be very good? You know, which Nick Foles shows up tomorrow?
Well, look, I don't think it's the Nick Foles you got against the Giants, but I also don't think it's quite as bad as the last version of Nick Foles you saw either. I think it's probably somewhere in between, which is basically going to be mediocre. The trouble is, I think what version of the Falcons we're going to see. I mean, the weather conditions are not going to be great in Philadelphia this weekend. They're not going to be perfect in terms of rain and wet footballs and things like that. That can always be a problem. But, you know, we have to recognize at a certain point, Atlanta is a team right now playing very well with no pressure on them, because what worse thing could possibly happen to the Falcons that would happen to them last year in the Super Bowl? Nothing. And their defense has played a little bit better. I feel like they're playing relaxed. They're the underdog in the games where they go in everywhere. You know, they went to the Rams, and I picked them last week to win, and they did. And I think they're going to win this week, too. I think their luck's going to run out the following week in the championship game. But I think the way the Falcons are playing, I don't know if it matters, even if Foles is mediocre or maybe just good. I don't know if that's going to be enough to win this football game the way the Falcons are playing right now.
Yeah, I think the Falcons, they don't, you know, I think they win 24-20. That's the score I keep coming back with.
Yeah, I would agree. Someone like that, 20-17, something in that vein.
It'll be close. They're 3-point favorites, the Falcons on the road. I'm sure Quinn wishes they weren't. You know, it's a little bit high, but I think the right team, you know, I think Atlanta is going to win. Pittsburgh and Jacksonville is an interesting game. Everyone's talking about that that game earlier in the year, and that might not be a good thing for Jacksonville, actually. You know, you don't need motivation in the playoffs, obviously, Joe. You're already motivated. You know, you're playing for everything, obviously. But at the same point in time, Ben Roethlisberger's not getting picked off 5 times. And we came across a number courtesy of Mark Lawrence, who joins us every week, you know, numbers analyst, ATS, better handicapper. And the Pittsburgh Steelers, since 2003, Joe, they played 10 games in the playoffs against teams that beat them in a regular season. They're 8-2 against the point spread in the revenge game. They're 7-3 straight up. And a couple of those losses were to the New England Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think Jacksonville are in tough here. And as far as the weather is concerned, this is the worst weather of all the games, Joe. It's freaking cold, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm Canadian, and I'm saying, because I often see,
That's when you know it's cold. Yeah,
like when I look at it, I'm like, yeah, that's cold. I'm like, yeah, it's cold. It's 7 degrees, Joe. That's cold. I don't care what country you're from. That's cold.
It absolutely is. I'll tell you what. If Jacksonville should win this game, I think this is the possibly the end of Ben Roethlisberger. I know he was talking about retiring, you know, in the offseason this past year. Start off pretty slow. There's also the question of how healthy really is Antonio Brown. I understand he practiced in full and all, but that doesn't necessarily mean you're healthy. You know that.
Now he's sick, Joe. Not only that, is he injured? I hear now he's sick. He's got the flu now, too.
He's sick. It's 5 degrees. There's a lot of negative things here. It might be one of these games, Gabe, that actually ends up being a little tighter than people think.
Yeah.
And it might be one of those weird bounces of the ball. I don't have much faith in Blake Bortles being able to make enough plays on offense on the road in order to win this football game. But my goodness, if he does throw one or two picks, or if one of those picks goes back for a touchdown, to me, that's one of those spots that really could turn this game on a dime. And all of a sudden now, it could become very competitive where people just expect Pittsburgh to move on. It wouldn't be shocking to me if Jacksonville beat them. It would be surprising, and I still think Pittsburgh will win. It's in terms of bet-wise, I'm curious where you go. You just go Pittsburgh outright for the win?
Yeah, you know, it's 7 points. I think you just called it pretty correctly here, in which I think Pittsburgh wins the game. They probably cover, but it wouldn't shock me if they won 20-13 or 20-14, you know, and you lose by 1 point. Pittsburgh aren't a good covering machine. You know, look, they won like 4 weeks in a row by 3 points.
Right.
They're going to be focused here. And it's a lot like baseball, Joe. You know, guys don't like, man, the hands hurt, man, when it's cold in late October, November, etc. Tackling Leonard Fournette's not going to be fun in this weather. I mean, these guys are tough guys and stuff, but it hurts their hands, man. They're like, they're human still, right? They don't like it. The helmet is cold. Everything's cold. The ground is cold. You got a 245-pound dude running 4-4 at you. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be a battle of wills, and Shazier's not going to be there in the trenches with him, and Harrison's not there anymore. And then conversely, you got Le'Veon Bell, and you can run on Jacksonville. Not that people are talking about Le'Veon here, but I think Pittsburgh win, like you said, but in a closer fashion. It's not going to be easy, but they survive. I think they're on a collision course with your Patriots. And finally, in closing, I like the Minnesota Vikings a lot, man. I think the Vikings are going to the Super Bowl, Joe. To me, Mike Zimmer, after Belichick's the best coach in the NFL.
You know what? I hope so, because I'd like to see Minnesota get there. I think it'll be a great story with the way Keenum really picked up the slack there and jumped in and really played pretty well. I mean, he played some admirable football this year. My problem is, you know, the balance right now that New Orleans has. I mean, they're a good defensive team. They're a team that can run the ball. They have an experienced quarterback. Usually, if you have one of those three factors, that's a good path to the Super Bowl. That team's got all three. So I actually think New Orleans is going to go in there and beat them. I'm going to take the other end of that game. And then I think they're actually going to, you know, take that home field advantage they're going to get from that and go on to the Super Bowl and go against the Patriots. That's what I'm looking at right now. And like I said, I hope that's not the case.
Drew Brees versus Tom Brady.
Minnesota would be the story you'd want.
Drew Brees versus Tom Brady is still pretty cool, though, if they got that. I mean,
oh, 100%.
Everyone always wants that. We've had the, you know, we've had the Aaron Rodgers versus Ben Roethlisberger before. But the Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, that's the dream one at the league and everybody wants. But you get a Tom Brady, Drew Brees would be pretty good. Or you get the Minnesota Vikings playing, you know, on their home field, which would be pretty cool as well. So, Joe, I apologize. Last Sunday I was on the road, actually, in Vancouver. And I had all kinds of Wi-Fi problems and this problems. And then I was a Bills fan. And then by the time it got late in the game, I wasn't in a very good mood after
well,
that.
That was part of the, you know, why I wanted you on. Well, what we were doing was we had Florio on.
I wanted to come on. I felt bad, but I was on a bender.
Enjoy the game.
I was on a 2-day bender. I can't lie. I was on a 2-day bender.
Exactly,
I was hung over at a bar. And
I figured either win or lose, you'd be good radio, you know.
Yeah, that was one of these deals where it was like I did the TV show with Lisi and stuff in the morning and Rich on Saturday. Uh-huh. But on Sunday, I was good to go, but I got distracted by a waitress. I got pissed off. And then my Twitter, I saw the DM. Are you calling in? I'm like, son of a bitch.
Oh, it's all good, Gabe. We love you.
Yeah,
don't worry about it.
I'll be calling in this week. I don't know if you're in the chair, but I'll be calling in at 3:38 sharp.
All right. Very good, Mr. Morenzi.
Good stuff, Joe. Thanks for the time. And hey, the Fantasy Baseball book, Black Book, comes out this weekend. Guys, where can people get information on where to purchase it?
You can get it over on Amazon. It'll be out there for Kindle and for paperback. Again, you can order it in eventually a couple weeks on iTunes too, but you don't have to wait. You can go get the free Amazon Kindle app and get it right away on any Apple device you want. And it's got great stuff. Sealy did some stuff for it. Paul Spohr did all the starting pitching chapters. Sammy Reed did DFS, and I did everything in between. So I think this is the best one yet.
I look forward to reading it. Congratulations on another season and another Black Book that I'm sure will be a big success. Thanks for the time, Joe.
Always, Gabe. Thank you.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Let's talk some DFS football as the countdown is on. The National Football League Divisional Round playoffs rapidly approaching. All right, we were looking at this and how we were going to approach the quarterback position. I was looking at Tom Brady. Tom Brady is going to be the most owned quarterback for sure. But the fact of the matter is, despite Marcus Mariota's struggles this year, and he has struggled this year. Marcus Mariota is going to be playing from behind in this football game. Marcus Mariota will be scrambling for yards in this football game, and Marcus Mariota will throw a touchdown or two in this football game. Now, he ended up with 27 DraftKings points last week, and it certainly helped that he threw and caught a touchdown to himself. But, like I said, yeah, you're going to have Brady in here. What's Brady going to do? Brady's going to throw what? Three touchdown passes probably. They're going to run for a couple. Let's say the Pats score five touchdowns. You're spending a lot of money to do it. I'd rather have Mariota playing from behind, running around, and have a couple of extra dollars to spend on some studs. And we've got some studs in our lineup. So ultimately, Marcus Mariota was our quarterback. I thought about Case Keenum. I think Case Keenum's going to have a nice game against the Saints. Tom Brady's the obvious pick. I get it. I'm not going to argue with you if you take Tom Brady, but I want to shake it up a little bit. And we're going to take Marcus Mariota, running back. I think Jay Ajayi's flying under the radar this week at $4,600, guys. I really do. And one thing with the playoffs right now, let's throw out, oh, they give up this and they give up the most this to this position and all this type of stuff, right? It's a damn playoff game, guys. And one thing about the playoffs, you almost want to stay away from star players almost, because the other teams are going to devise a game plan to shut down the opponent's strength. And they're going to say, all right, we're not going to let this guy beat us. You're going to have to prove that you can do something else. So you look at this game with the Philadelphia Eagles and the Atlanta Falcons. Anyone knows this. Everybody knows that the Philadelphia Eagles do not want to throw the football 50 times with Nick Foles. The Philadelphia Eagles' game plan is going to be to run the football in this game and try to keep the Falcons' offense off the field and try to keep Nick Foles ahead of the sticks, put Nick Foles in comfortable situations. They didn't trade to get Jay Ajayi, not to use him. This is where they're going to use him. Jay Ajayi is going to get 15, 17, 20 touches in this football game. Yeah, you know what? I know it's a three-pronged attack here, but Jay Ajayi is the best back on the team. Like I said, they didn't bring this guy in not to use him. And at $4,600, and we know Jay Ajayi always pops a big run. He's going to catch a couple of balls out of the backfield. I think it's a nice value pick here at $4,600 with Ajayi. I really do. We're going to go with McKinnon. McKinnon, you're in. That's the next man up, Minnesota. I like Murray or McKinnon, but at least, you know, McKinnon, you're going to catch a couple of passes. I think this game, there's going to be some points put up on the board in this game. I do. I think the two higher scoring games are going to be the Patriots and the Titans game and the Saints and the Vikings game. All right, you know, the Falcons and the Eagles game, it could be raining. It's not really cold, but the weather is going to change as the game goes on. Philadelphia is going to run the ball a lot. It's going to be a smash-mouth game. The Jacksonville-Pittsburgh game, it's going to be viciously cold, smash-mouth, low-scoring game. You know, this game's in a dome. And, you know, McKinnon is going to get, you know, he's going to get some touches in this game. And he's cheap at $4,900. I can't spend the money on Bell. You know, Derrick Henry, I can live with Henry, but the problem with Henry is they're going to be behind. And Mariota's going to have to throw the football. So ultimately, we're going to go with Jay Ajayi and Jerick McKinnon as our running backs. All right, wide receiver Corey Davis. All right, this is after this, it gets sexier, guys. Don't worry. you can see the lineup anyway. So, but Corey Davis, $3,400. Listen, you got to roll the dice in these tournaments at some point in time, right? You know, $3,400, going to be playing from behind, targeted seven times last week. This kid is really, really, really good, you know, but he was injured. So now he's starting to get healthy, starting to get a little bit of a rapport going with Mariota. And you know what I like? Corey Davis hasn't scored a touchdown yet in his career. I'm calling it right now. Corey Davis going to score the first touchdown of his career in a loss, I might add, against the New England Patriots. All right, so now we start to flash our money around like Floyd Mayweather at the club. Now let's make it rain, baby. Julio Jones. I sound like a hypocrite because I just told you the teams take away the other team's best players, but Ronald Darby's not big enough to cover Julio Jones. The Philadelphia Eagles' one weakness is their secondary. And they're not bad players. Mills is good and Darby are good. But the thing is, Jim Schwartz and the style that they play, they leave their cornerbacks isolated often. And they're going to be in tough covering Sanu, and they're going to be in tough covering Julio Jones. We saw Julio Jones step up last week. Now it's the playoffs. They're going to force feed. They're going to run the ball, and they're going to throw the ball to Jones. I like Mohamed Sanu, and I told you guys last week, bet Sanu over the receptions. But we're looking for some beef here. And I think Julio Jones is going to get into the end zone. I think he's going to have a Julio Jones type of day. 6-7 catches, you know, maybe 8 catches and a touchdown and 100 yards type of deal. Numbers are a little down in the playoffs, guys. It doesn't take much to win it in the playoffs, right, in fantasy. You just have to be the guys to get the damn touchdowns. Adam Thielen. See, now my team's getting good. Adam Thielen. I got Adam Thielen in here. From what I understand, Marshawn Lattimore is going to be on Diggs. And Diggs lit him up, actually, in the first game. But I'd rather have Thielen running around and having different guys on him than Lattimore locked in. I like Diggs, and Diggs is a TD machine. And like I said, I think that there's going to be points put up on the board in this football game. So I can live with Diggs or Thielen, but come on, man, Adam Thielen, the guy's had the best year as a Minnesota Viking wide receiver since Randy Moss was there. Rob Gronkowski, see, yeah, I don't know how anyone can't like this lineup. Unless you're like a communist or something. What's there not to like about Julio Jones, Adam Thielen, and Rob Gronkowski? Rob Gronkowski, the guy's got 6 touchdowns in his last 5 playoff games. So Gronk is going to step it up a notch. And yeah, I get it that the Patriots might be routing them and stuff, but they're not going to be routing them. And the Patriots never take the pedal off the metal in the playoffs. Gronkowski might score 2 touchdowns here in this game. Travis Kelce was freaking murdering these guys last week. He was wide open all the time. He got concussed and knocked out of the game, and then the wheels fell off. The difference is the New England Patriots aren't a choking candy-ass team like the Kansas City Chiefs are. Rob Gronkowski, if you don't put him in your lineup, it's at your own peril. I mentioned Mohamed Sanu. I think the passing attack is going to have some success for the Atlanta Falcons. I've got Sanu and Jones. So basically every time Matt Ryan throws a damn ball, I'm going to be getting points. And finally, in closing, I always go with the cheapest defense generally if I can, but give me the Minnesota Viking defense. I don't think they're going to be heavily owned. They're going to get to the quarterback. I'm calling it right now. Drew Brees is going to throw an interception, and he might fumble when he gets sacked type of deal. I think the Vikings defense are going to overwhelm the Saints, and the Vikings are going to win this football game. Vikings are going to get into the 30s. They're going to win like 30-20 or something like that, but I think there'll be a turnover or two along the way. Ultimately, I like this lineup. I think we got a chance. I'll gladly play some head-to-heads. We'll roll the dice in a tournament. And you know what? Hopefully we can end this NFL DFS season with a freaking big-ass win, man. Game Time Decisions on Fantasy Sports Network continues.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
All right, everybody, it's time for my plays of the day, and I got to be fast today. We went long on the show. Cleveland Cavaliers were embarrassed. They keep on getting embarrassed. I think they're going to step up and play well tonight against the Pacers, give it to Cavaliers to win on the money line. We're going to go over the number over 221. NCAA basketball, Butler. Butler back home. Butler gets it done. The same. We're going to lay the 4 points against the Marquette. Marquette, Butler over 157. VCU plus 3.5 is a good play on the road at Dayton. You can buy half point up to 4. DePaul minus 1 on their home court against Providence tonight. I'm going to take the Demons. Give me DePaul, Providence DePaul over 149 in the NHL. I know it's dangerous, but we're going to go slick style, lay it on the oil. Minus 130 Edmonton Oilers on the night. You're on your own. May the winners be yours.